This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Sri Lanka has a new president, but can he heal the country? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. In the last few hours, Ranil Wickremesinghe has been elected by the parliament. He replaces Gotabaya Rajapaksa, who fled and resigned after months of protests in the crisis-hit country. Mr. Wickremesinghe has been the prime minister, and it's unclear how this appointment will be received. The BBC's Ambarasan Etarajan is in the capital, Colombo.
I'm at the main protest site here in Colombo. There are dozens of people and they were shouting slogans saying, "Go home, Ranil," that's the first name of Mr. Wickremesinghe. Probably you can hear them shouting, you know, "Victory for the protest movement." That is what they are shouting at the moment behind me. And they are very disappointed with the result because they had earlier made it very clear that Mr. Wickremesinghe should not be the candidate, should not be the president, because he's someone close to the Rajapaksa family.
And what is his view towards protesters, those who have been campaigning on the streets, campaigning to such an extent that his predecessor fled and resigned?
Soon after he took over as the acting president, he wanted very tough action against those indulging in violence. He said that the army has been given powers to restore order because many government buildings were taken over. His own house, personal residence, was set on fire. He was very upset about it. And there are concerns that he might crack down on these protesters. But he also said peaceful protests are welcome.
And economically, what happens next? Now that there is a president, does this mean financial talks with other countries, other organizations can now progress?
He needs to first appoint a prime minister and then a government. And now he needs to, you know, continue the negotiations with the International Monetary Fund. They had a first direct talks last month here in Colombo. And even last week, the IMF was insisting on political stability so that they can resume talks. Sri Lanka is expecting around $3 billion of emergency loan so that they can start reviving the economy and also import fuel and food. But it will take months at least to get this money. That's why they want additional loans from other countries like India, Japan and China, because Sri Lanka is bankrupt. They don't have enough foreign currency reserves to buy these essential items.
Ambarasan Etarajan in Colombo, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's talk now about energy supplies in Europe. They've been under the spotlight since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, with the European Union pledging to cut its reliance on gas and oil imports from Moscow. Now the bloc is expected to go one step further. Nick Beek reports from Brussels.
Brussels is expected to announce a target later for every EU country to reduce the amount of gas it's using. A source at the Commission says it's seriously considering making the target compulsory in case of severe shortages, although member states would have to agree to such a move. In recent weeks, Russia has greatly reduced capacity on the main pipe to Germany, which is currently closed for annual maintenance until Thursday. Some worry that President Putin may delay turning the tap back on, which would only deepen Europe's energy crisis.
Nick Beek there. Let's look at the markets now, and world shares hit a three-week high on Wednesday off the back of strong US corporate earnings, plus the expected resumption of the Russian gas supply to Europe after pipe maintenance. And European stocks held steady with a decision due from the European Central Bank on interest rates tomorrow. And we'll bring you full coverage of that with Victoria Craig live in the Greek capital Athens for us. And I spoke to her earlier to ask if we expected the rate to go up for the first time in 11 years.
Yes, the ECB has said so, which is a very rare move. But at its June meeting, in its policy statement, the ECB actually explicitly stated that it planned to raise interest rates for the first time in 11 years. It's important to note that the ECB is sort of behind the curve in this way, though. It's behind the Federal Reserve. Interest rates, even after this rate rise, will still be in negative territory. But policymakers are very concerned about the inflation situation in the Eurozone, which has reached record levels this year. And so this is a way at combating the huge price rises that we've seen. But still, investors are getting a little bit nervous about what higher borrowing costs, higher interest rates could mean for some countries across the Eurozone, including here in Greece and just across the water over in Italy.
Well, you mentioned you're there in Greece. Talk to us about the economy there. I mean, obviously, Greece has been through the pandemic like we all have, but also years of trying to recover from the debt crisis.
Yeah, exactly. And in many ways, the economy here is better off now, but there is still a long way to go. Greece has a very high debt load. It's at 200% of GDP. That is the highest in the Eurozone. Unemployment is above 12%. That's the second highest rate in the Eurozone. And though the country has boosted the cash cushion it has, its savings, it is expected to post economic growth of 3% this year. Those are good things. But there are still factors that people are still worried about.
And Victoria, just while you're there in Greece, that country has seen pretty extensive wildfires due to the extreme heat across Europe. What is it like where you are?
Well, actually, Sasha, we can see one of those wildfires from our hotel window. Last night, we saw the fires burning, smoke billowing, and it looks this morning that it's more under control. When you're here as a traveler, you kind of rely on various infrastructure systems that are supposed to be in place, like emergency alerts that are pushed to your phone, but those don't always work. In fact, I didn't get one of the alerts that my producer Stephen got last night. So we'll put all these questions to the tourism minister later.
Victoria Craig in Athens, thank you.
Thanks, Sasha.
And there'll be more from Victoria live from Greece on the programme tomorrow. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. In London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.